This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
6:44, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. A lot going on in Baton Rouge with LSU Athletics, and here to help us talk about it all is our friend Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeffrey?
Doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
Is it Jeffrey or not? Is that your real name?
Well, when my wife is angry with me, yes, then it's Jeffrey.
Uh-oh. Well, you don't hear Jeffrey. You don't ever want to hear that. What's your middle name?
James.
Jeffrey James Palermo. I bet you when you hear all three of those, that's when you're really in trouble. Let's talk about LSU and Mississippi State.
Well, fun game last night. It didn't start out fun. Cade Anderson just Mississippi State jumped on him. You know, hit a two-run homer off of him in the first. He ended up giving up three home runs on the night, and they really battled him. They came in with a good game plan. He wasn't as sharp. He hung a slider, especially in the first inning there, giving up the two-run homer, and it was just a grind. And that's what you're going to see sometimes, even from your best pitchers, where it's just not going to go smoothly. But it didn't get out of control. He kept LSU within striking distance. And then in the fifth inning, Mississippi State, who was throwing a bullpen game, meaning they were throwing mainly relievers. They started a pitcher who only went three innings, and then they brought in another one. And they got to that second pitcher who he walks the first two guys he faces. Daniel Dickinson then hits a three-run homer. Josh Pearson has a really good at-bat after that. And then Steven Milam hits a two-run homer, and all of a sudden what was a four-run deficit, LSU grabs a one-run lead. They add another run in the eighth inning, and they end up winning it 8-6. And not only is the story of the game that five-run fifth inning, but Zach Collin was absolutely outstanding out of the bullpen. Four shutout innings. You couldn't ask for – I mean, struck out seven. His ERA is down to 1.07. I mean, just very impressive stuff that they're getting out of the Wofford transfer, and that was exactly what LSU needed, and it's the reason why, Tommy, he's still in the bullpen. It's for games like what happened last night, where your starter doesn't have it, but yet you're still in the ball game, and you need someone to just shut the opponent down for three or four innings, and he was able to do that last night. He's not going to be able to do it every night, but if he can do it most of his outings, that is just a huge advantage to have out of the bullpen.
That was my next question. When would he be available again?
Well, probably not until next weekend, or unless they pitch them in the midweek game next week. I mean, he threw over 50 pitches, so it's likely that he will not be pitching again this weekend. But they still have another strong arm out of the bullpen that they could potentially use, and that being Cason Evans. So we'll see. Today, LSU is going to be going up against Mississippi State's top pitcher. They're going to need a good start from Anthony Ianson to try to match him. But that's why it was so big to come back and win that game last night, because you had the pitching advantage in the game. It looked like it was going to get out of reach for LSU, but there's a reason why the Tigers have the best offense. You know, the Tigers have the best offense in the Southeastern Conference, so they're not out of too many games. Texas shut them down on Sunday, but I don't think you're going to see that too often. Eventually, they're going to break through, and they were able to do that. And if you're going to walk the first two hitters in an inning against this offense, you're asking for trouble, and that's exactly what happened for Mississippi State.
When it comes to bringing guys out of the bullpen, are they on a pitch count? Does that determine when they can go again?
Yeah, part of it is. I mean, you know, like Connor Bench pitched yesterday, but I think he only threw maybe 20 or so pitches, so he's good to come back, possibly even tonight if you need him to. But, you know, once you get up to that 40, 50 or so pitch mark, that makes it really tough to come back the next day. And then, you know, especially with Zach Cowan, the five or over 50 pitches, that makes it really tough to kind of come back two games from now. But now, let's say if it was a regional or a regional series.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's when you push it. But we're still here in March, and I think Jay Johnson, just like what happened last week against Texas, you know, kind of a similar situation in that Cowan threw three innings in that first game against Texas and then pitched the rest of the weekend. I think what you want to see if you're Jay Johnson is some of these other guys get back out on the mound, the Maverick Rizzies, the Cooper Williams, the William Schmidt, the Connor Ware. There's a lot of other guys that they want to see, you know, try to continue to develop. It's still early here. You don't need to be just pushing these guys to the max just yet. So let's see if some of these other guys that they're kind of waiting to develop, let's see if they can take a step in the right direction sometime during this series.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those situations where if there's no, quote, tomorrow, like the cliche goes, well, that's a little bit different. Then let's see what you got. Come on out. Let's see what you have. But at this time of year, no, not so much. All right, Jeff Palermo is our guest talking about LSU sports. We'll talk about ladies basketball when we come back. Right now, time for WWL traffic. 6:55, 5 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Jeffrey Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director about LSU. And we already talked about men's baseball. We're getting ready to talk about ladies basketball. Jeff, I do not want to incur the wrath of Kim Mulkey, okay? But I will say this. This is just me saying this. I'm not attributing this to Kim Mulkey at all. However, she said last week there were going to be a lot of points scored in the Florida State game, and I told Tim Zimmer, who's my fellow degenerate gambler, man, that sounds to me like bet the over, and sure enough, the over hit. Now, I'm not saying that Kim Mulkey, look, let me clear this up. I'm not saying in any way she was talking about betting on a game or anything like that, but it was interesting how she talked about a lot of points being scored, and there certainly were. Tell me about the game tonight.
Well, tonight might see some more points, I think, Tommy. I mean, I think this is going to be a game that will be played in the 80s, maybe not as much as what we saw in the Florida State game, especially those two teams. I mean, in the first half, or really they were trading baskets. I mean, 99 points or whatever it was, 101 points in that first half. That was pretty impressive. And then LSU made some adjustments at halftime on Florida State's top scorer, and Florida State got shut down, and LSU kept scoring and ended up winning by 30 points. You know, in this game, North Carolina State and LSU, they've already played once this season way back in November in the Bahamas. LSU won that game, but North Carolina State, who was in the Final Four last year, has really developed. They play four guards. I think they hit 15 three-pointers in their last game against Michigan State, so LSU is going to have to defend the perimeter. I mean, the biggest thing LSU has going for itself right now is its health. The decision to rest Flaje Johnson and not play her in the SEC tournament is paying off. Mikayla Williams looks good. Anisha Morrow has been bothered with a foot injury. Getting some of that time off in between the SEC tournament and the start of the NCAA tournament was a big break for LSU, and they looked really good last week. And then the supporting cast was really good. But that was on their home court. Let's see if this supporting cast can travel, right? They got such a great outing from Samaya Smith last Monday where she scored 20 points on 9 of 9 shooting. What are they going to get out of her tonight? What are they going to get out of some of the bench players, the Jada Richards, the Kaylin Gilbert? I think LSU, they'll go as far as, I mean, they got three terrific players in Williams, Morrow, and Johnson. But what they get out of those other players, I think, is going to really determine the fate of their season. If they get some really good contributions to support the Big Three, then yeah, this team is a team that can get back to the Final Four, and they're as good as anyone to beat anybody else.
along those lines, she talked about unselfishness before Kim Mulkey did about passing the ball, and she seemed to be happy with what happened against Florida State. It always is puzzling to me to determine how much you want them to pass the ball. Do you go with the hot hand? How does she balance all of that, Jeff?
Well, I think she, I don't want to say she trusts these players, but I mean, there is a part of the trust with it. It is interesting. If you ever, especially when LSU's operating offensively on the side of where LSU's bench is at, and how she really, when they're in their half-court offense, how she, I mean, she's a former point guard herself. Mm-hmm. She's kind of directing the offense from sideline.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun to watch when you're able to kind of really watch that. I know most of you're watching the ball and all that, where that's going. But
no, I noticed when she drops to the squat. That's when she's really getting into it,
yeah.
Right?
But I tell you what, they got as I mentioned, they got three really good scorers in Morrow, Johnson, and Williams, and I think she gives a lot of allows them to be allows them to share the basketball as much as they can.
Thank you, Jeff.